Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmelli, my co-host here, Dave Popowicz, and you're doing it again. You've I'm laughing because those of you who have been tuning in for the last few weeks, there's been a bit of a battle between Popowicz and I on socks. Mm-hmm. And every week you kick my you know what. Oh my God, your
this
socks
is a pretty
are
good
hilarious.
One.
If you want to get a chance to look at Popowicz's socks and why he's the sock king, of, at least of this studio, go on to our social media platform. They're going to really post this one. It's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It says, well, not going to lie.
Right. But you got to see the extra part.
The extra part is words that we cannot say on the air.
It's covered up, but it does complete the thought.
It does complete the thought. I'm wearing just plain avocado socks, thinking I could have beat you today, not knowing that you're going to one-up me, and here we are.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, not going to lie, what a great line to have, not only on your socks, but not going to lie in regards to what's going to happen when it comes to what the conflict that we have. We've got a great show today.
Yep.
We're going to talk about the conflict and how it's going to impact from an economic perspective.
Yep.
We're going to talk about the conflict and rising interest rates in Canada and the U.S. and how that one little asset class called fixed income or bonds, is it a good time to invest? Is there an opportunity to make money? How do you profit and protect by using fixed income? We can talk about that as well.
Exactly.
And when we talk about not going to lie, we've done a lot of work this week and last week. Dave, you know, when we talk about this whole Ukrainian and Russian issue, we've done a lot of work to talking to military officials, intelligence agencies who can give us information, and experts from around the world. It's been a part of our due diligence for our clients.
Mm-hmm.
We have come up with a solution or scenarios that could happen in this conflict. And in that solution and scenarios, we've kind of narrowed it down to four different outcomes. Now, Dave, I want you to take a couple of minutes of time so people can understand what's happening, why we're saying, not gonna lie, here are scenarios, but there could be impacts to markets, to economy, to people's lives when it comes to these four different outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Walk us through, from the research that we have, what are those possible outcomes?
Yeah, I was really, I felt very fortunate this week. We've done lots of research, as you said, on the various conflicts throughout history back to World War II.
Yeah.
And we've sent some material out on that. Very fortunate to spend some time on a presentation this week, a private presentation with the former Supreme Allied Commander of NATO. Talking about, from a military perspective, what are the likely outcomes? We get asked that question a lot. We're not military guys.
Yeah.
So here's a guy that that ran the entire operation in NATO, and he came up with four things, four potential outcomes for this conflict, and then we're going to talk economically about what that will mean.
So let's give credit to the individual first. Let's mention his name.
Yeah, Jim Stravitis. Yeah, Admiral Jim Stravitis. So he says the first potential outcome is that Russia wins this war and takes Ukraine. Okay, we're talking the whole country, instills a puppet regime in Ukraine, as he, you know, Putin has done in some other countries, and that's the conflict. He did not feel that even if that were the scenario, that militarily Russia would cross a NATO border. He felt that and he went through some statistics about, just give you one, the size of military spending in NATO is $900 billion a year versus $60 billion a year in Russia. And look at manpower, look at strength of armament, and it's overwhelmingly in favor of NATO. So he made the military case that if Ukraine fell to Russia, it is very, very unlikely that it would go beyond that. Number two. In this particular case, and we're seeing that now. We're recording this on Friday, right? And I want to say that because we would note that the Russian military is now in the process of surrounding Kyiv, the main city. And his second scenario was that Kyiv falls to the Russians, and then the real negotiations, in his opinion, would start to take place at that point. And what those negotiations would likely lead to is Crimea and the two other eastern areas that are Russian influenced right now in Ukraine effectively become Russian. Now that effectively mean could a full annex of that area, okay, or it's Russian controlled.
Now there was some sort of talk as well as the Ukraine government not going into NATO as well.
Yeah. He felt, and we've seen that development, that Ukraine stays outside of NATO and creates some neutrality. But that was option two. He felt that was the most likely outcome from a military perspective.
Yeah.
Number three was that effectively it becomes a standstill. So Russia will retreat. The Crimea remains as is. The eastern part of the Ukraine remains Russian influenced. But it's not necessarily a takeover. Russia has not won in that particular case. And the fourth case, he said, was that there is a regime change, meaning that Putin, through his, through internal, it's the March of Ives, he gets taken out effectively. Yeah. And he said that is highly unlikely, but not an impossible scenario. Okay, those are the four scenarios.
So with those four scenarios, the high likelihood that Russia will take over Kyiv, they will have Ukraine admit that two of the regions are independent from Ukraine. There is conversation that they will also have to agree that they're not going to join NATO as well. And if that's the higher likelihood outcome, that can cause a lot of volatility and uncertainty in the market.
Absolutely.
And so the purpose of the outlining of these four scenarios is that they're all on the table. They all have difference of probability of what could be the outcome. The highest probability of those four scenarios is what is talking about taking over Kyiv. And now it comes down to how do you handle this in your portfolio?
Right.
So there's going to be more volatility, more uncertainty. Expect that. But we do know that over every major conflict in history, that 9 to 12 months after a major component like this that we're describing, markets are higher.
Yep.
Higher than where they are today.
Right.
So think of that from a longer term perspective. Short term, expect volatility. Longer term, expect results.
Right.
Right. And now comes positioning. How do you adjust your portfolio to find the areas of opportunity, knowing the 9 month, 12 month game point from when, let's call Kyiv being taken over.
Right.
Okay. So that's what's going to be happening in the portfolio. That's what we're working on. We're making a lot of moves. We're looking at a lot of information on how to get that opportunity on the recovery.
Right.
And we've seen this time and time again. Those who were investing during any conflict, you can go from 9/11, you can go to the Gulf Wars, you can go Afghanistan, whatever it may be. Just look 9, 12 months after.
Right.
What happens.
Right.
Right. So there's an opportunity. And there's a lot of investments out there, or a lot of companies that have been decimated. It's shopping time. And so now we go out and we start looking for the opportunities.
Yeah, that's right. You've got to stay nimble, you've got to stay dynamic. It's a dynamic situation, this thing is evolving constantly, right? And so when we're looking for those opportunities and we're looking on how to manage through this, it's not the day-to-day volatility that we're looking at. It's where this is going to end up. Cut through the noise, find the real news, look at what this looks like, short term, a month out, 6 months, a year, 12, 24 months, those kinds of things.
So if you need money in the next 9, 12, 24 months, it should not be in this because of a lot of volatility.
Correct.
If you've got money that you don't need for the next 24 months or beyond,
yep,
understand that there's an opportunity to make some money on this. The next 2 years, keep that capital aside.
Right.
Don't invest in high volatility. Keep it in low volatility or no volatility and protect yourself. That's why we have an income bucket. That's why we have a growth bucket. That's the approach. And that's what we would recommend for all of our clients as well.
So let's talk about that. We've got to do our next presentation, right, is not different in the sense that we're talking about bulletproofing retirement, right? But we'll talk about it in the context of what's happening today. But we're also going to talk about the framework and how to structure, protect, discipline, all of those things that get you through the next 35 years.
Yeah, so it's going to be the upcoming seminar on Tuesday, March 29th,
yep,
7 p.m., live online. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com.
All right, we've talked about the military impact here and what the likely outcomes are. What's the economic impact? Stick around after the break. We're going to talk about that with Avery Schoenfeld. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.